Okay, this shiur is about Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis and Kuf Yud Ches. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis has the Mishnah at the top. That's where we're going to start. This is actually a pretty exciting daf of Gemara. A lot of different issues. All of them are halacha l'maisa. I don't know how deeply we're going to be able to get into all of them, but we'll definitely touch upon them. And this, for a change, by the way, we're going to get into some mitzvot aseh of Shabbos instead of just the mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Although we're not going to start with that. So the Mishnah says, this is the second Mishnah in Kol Kisvei. Anybody know what the parak Kol Kisvei of Shabbos is about? Well, it started with Kol Kisvei HaKodesh. Motzi'in, I think. Or Matzilin. Motzi'in or Matzilin. Basically, it talks about if there's a fire in your house, which books do you save?
Shabbos.
You can't put out the fire. So which books do you save from the house? That's the subject of the first Mishnah. Yeah, Matzilin or Tobit Nehad Leika. What? Right. No. Obviously, Sifrei Torah, and then it gets into the issues of what about Pasul Sifrei Torah, what about like just Gilyonot of Sifrei Torah, what about Nach, what about non, you know, scroll books, things like that. So it gets into that. So now we talk about actual food. What happens if you have a fire in the house? It's on Shabbos. You need food for the rest of the rest of Shabbos. We're not worried about after Shabbos. We're worried about for Shabbos. So how much food can you save? So the Mishnah says, Matzilin mazon shalosh seudos. Haroi la'adam. La'adam haroi la'behema. Sorry. Haroi la'adam la'adam haroi la'behema la'behema. So you save three meals. Food that is roi for a person you save. Food that is roi for an animal you save for the animal. Kate said, what are we talking about here? Nafla d'leika b'leilei Shabbos. If the fire starts on Leil Shabbos at night, so then, you need how many meals?
Three.
Matzilin mazon shalosh seudos. B'shachris, how many do you need? Definitely not three, because you already had one. Matzilin mazon beis seudos. B'mincha mazon seuda achas. Rabbi Yossi omer li'ola matzilin mazon shalosh seudos. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. In other words, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says, depending on when the actual fire breaks out, or really, how many meals are left in the day, that's how many meals you can save. What does Rabbi Yossi say?
Three.
Why? Well, no, Rabbi Yossi says, if you're allowed to save three meals at the beginning of Shabbos, then you should be allowed to save three meals at the end of Shabbos. That's the shear. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. He says, three seudos is apparently the shear of how much, you know, that's the maximum that you're allowed, and the minimum, that you're allowed to save on Shabbos. So it doesn't matter when you save it, that's what you're doing. The Tanakhama disagrees. The Tanakhama says, no, it goes by exactly at what point in Shabbos it happened.
Because of the problem of preparing from Kodesh Lechol.
Yeah. No, it's not because of the problem of preparing from Kodesh Lechol.
What's the problem?
The Gemara is going to tell us what the problem is.
You've got a fine and trying to save stuff, like trying to calculate the quantity of food.
It's a very slow fire.
That's true. That's true. How exactly you... I mean, you estimate...
What were they arguing about? Why?
Until you have six challahs in the house.
Let's say you've got a block.
You have six challahs in the house for a Shabbos.
Block of cheese. Were you supposed to get a knife out and cut the block of cheese?
No, I don't think so.
Shouldn't if there's a fire in your house, the first thing you do is try to save yourself from the fire, even if it's...
That's going to be the issue. That's going to be the issue. So the Gemara says, Michti beheter katarach natzil tvei. Since anyways, he says, you're allowed to save things, why not allow them to save all their food or everything? Why not? Why limit? Why do Chazal limit people from saving other things? What's this whole idea? Amarava mitoch sha'adam bahul al mamano isharis le'ati lichbuye. What does that mean? Anybody want to take a stab?
Because he's worried.
Right, so what are the words? So it says, Rava says, since a person is bahul al mamano,
worry.
He gets crazy about his money or about his food, right? But his possessions, so to speak, right? All of his possessions. When he sees them burning, he's going to get a little bit crazy. If you don't put any limits on him, then he's going to end up just putting out the fire.
Do you think it's anybody alive who's been in a situation where their house was burning down on Shabbos and they didn't try to put it out?
Okay, so I could have waited with this. I guess we might as well say it now. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to wait with this. You know what? For a change, we'll go into the daf early. So if you look in on the first source, so this is a Ritva, the beginning of this parak. It says, "V'achshav." Yeah, there's an extra one. V'achshav nagu barov haritzot lechabot dleika b'Shabbos. In most lands, they just put out the fire on Shabbos. By the way, let's go over what are the issues with putting out a fire on Shabbos.
It's the daraita.
Is it daraita? Anybody disagree with Meir?
What's the daraita?
The answer is that in most cases, almost all cases on Shabbos, according to the way that we paskin, it's almost always an Isser Durabanan. Why? Because Simon's question is pertinent. Where did they put out fires in the Mishkan? Or why did they put out fires in the Mishkan? The answer is... What?
The Tumid at the end of the day, in the morning. Clearing that.
No, I don't think so. They didn't have to put that fire out.
The
fire is supposed to keep going. That's something else. And anyways, that has nothing to do with building the Mishkan. Which is where most of the halachas usually come from.
Welding?
What does that have to do with putting out fires?
Well, when you weld, you sparks to put it together, then you've got to put it out.
Oh, okay. Has anybody ever watched their... Well, this is probably... Anybody ever watched their wife light candles before Shabbos? How do they do anything interesting?
Afterwards.
What afterwards?
I've got to put
okay, yeah. No, that's not where I'm going. That's not where I'm going. The minhag used to be, I think they don't do this so much anymore. They used to basically light the candles and then put it out and then light it again. Why? Because when you singe the wick, it makes it light better than the second time. In the Mishkan, the only thing that they actually used to do is they used to singe things and then put out the fire and then light it again because it makes it light better or it makes it light easier the next time. That's the melacha that they did in the Mishkan. It was kibui, al menat lahavir. That's what it was. The burning, the putting out the fire was for the sake of lighting the fire. That was how it was done in the Mishkan.
You said that's not an issue of building.
That's what they did when they were building things. When they were constructing the Mishkan.
And here it's kibui, that's all of kibui.
Exactly. So most cases of kibui nowadays aren't like that. Then we put out the fire because we want to put out the fire. We don't want the fire, which makes it a melacha she'ena tzricha begufa. Now, according to the Rambam, that's daraisa, but we don't pass like the Rambam generally. So we assume that that's a melacha she'ena tzricha begufa is only derabanan. Melacha she'ena tzricha begufa means it was done for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. That's a very simple explanation for what that is. So it's only an issa derabanan, but the rabbi said you're not allowed to, it's still an issa derabanan. You're not allowed to put out fire, right? So that's why if there's a fire in your house, you're not allowed to put it out. So the Ritva says nowadays people are putting out fires. And there is no basis for this. What do they say? They say that the fire is going to spread and it's going to burn babies and children and things that can't get away. Mm-hmm. They say they're afraid of the non-Jews. They're afraid of what the non-Jews are going to do when they see that they're letting them, let the fire keep going. Therefore, they put out the fire. Because anyways, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, who holds Melacha Sheinu Tzrich Legufa is Pater, Asur Derabanan, the Kamelan Kavase. But then the Ritva says, "V'ein heter bara b'davar azeh elish hazeh koz hashamur b'yusham yanachlam lisoa mutav shiyushokin value mezidin." The Ritva ends and says, I think they're wrong, but I'm not going to say anything to them. Because it's better for the Jews, if they're going to do it anyways, it's better that they should do it by accident or at least under a mistaken impression than that they should do it knowing that what they're doing is wrong. Right? This is a general rule. It's less general than people think. But it's a rule that applies where you know that the person is going to just continue to violate the Torah if you tell them about it. So it's better, if they don't know about it yet, it's better to just let them do it b'shogeg. By the way, people don't know that this rule only applies in specific circumstances. It only applies when there's no explicit command in the Torah that they're violating. What do I mean? If a person is eating on Yom Kippur, And let's say he doesn't know that he's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. This doesn't apply. Right? Because the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur.
That's Midaraisa.
Exactly. But Shabbos is the one case where it does apply. Because where does the Torah say that you're not allowed to put out fires on Shabbos?
It doesn't.
It says you're not allowed to do malacha. No.
Aish is one of the things that
says outfires. But outfires. What? Exactly. Torah Shabbat, when it's Daraisa, but Torah Shabbat Pat, meaning it's interpreted by the rabbis, that's when you say Mutav Shiyu Shogi and Valyu Mazidin. Because you can't. The moment you can point to a pasuk in the Torah and say, hey, this is why you can't do it, then you have to tell them. But if you can't, then that's when you shouldn't, because those are the rules. So the Ritva says that you're not supposed to put out fires.
So now we know the Great Fire of London started.
Well, he wasn't in
somebody
London.
Read the
he was in Spain, right? The Trumas Adeshin, however, right, or Moshe Isserlein, a hundred years later, he quotes the Hagos HaShri, who's a commentary on the Rush, and he says, no, Shem Or Zarua, the Ashkenazi Rishon, Misho, Bezman Haseh Afilu Bala Iske Mamun, Mechalin Aleim Es HaShabbos. Even if it was about money, you Mechal El HaShabbos, V'chein Mutu L'Chabbos Es HaDleika B'Shabbos Bezman Haseh. He says, you can put out a fire on Shabbos nowadays. And he says, because we're afraid of the non-Jews, which is the reason that the Ritva mentions, so the Or Zarua, one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, says that's a valid reason. He also says, even if it's a suffix of Sakana, nevertheless you can put out the fire, and even a Gadol B'Yisrael should put it out, and you shouldn't even wait for a non-Jew to help you. Near the Eish Latit Lev Lefi HaYinyan. The Trumas Adeshin says, but wait. You have to think. Each case. Lefi Ra'oz, Eini Chochmei Ador. You have to look at each one if you have an opportunity to ask a Chacham a hypothetical question about, you know, if this were to happen, then you can get an answer. Kegonim Yesh Shoftim B'Shiltonim Be'ir Mavtichim L'Hatzil Yisrael. For example, let's say it's a Jew-friendly city, and you're not afraid of the non-Jews. The Kai Gavne, Menir Shein Sakana Klal, or if you can see that there's no danger with this fire. Lo Yichalu Es HaShabbos Klal, then you should not be Mechal HaShabbos, you should not put out the fire. Loshon Darach, Le'el Mashma Dezim Din Ika Delega Sakana, sometimes there's no Sakana. Midikas of Kishe Yesh Sakana, Pen Yavo Lishpoch Dam. When there is a danger, it means that sometimes there is no danger. Mashma Ksas, De Bestama Lo Dainin Le Sakana. We don't always assume that there's going to be a danger.
The Trumas Adeshin is only referring to the issue of the guy, not referring to the fact
that... No, he also says if there's a danger. He says also sometimes there's a danger.
Which doesn't mean
it's a separate
case.
He's
talking about the danger of God, he's talking about the danger of
Tinakos. He mentions both. Now, what do we say nowadays? So this is from the Minchas Asher. Rav Asher Weiss, he has, I think he has now two volumes of Tshuvos. So this is from the first one. He has a whole simon just on this issue. And this is his conclusion. B'kol malkom shehikiu, this is pretty, you know, you need big shoulders. He says, any time where you have a situation, where you have an Issur D'Rabbanan, and you see that if you don't take a permissive stance, like across the board, a broad permissive stance, then there's no way for you to prevent disaster from happening. It's permitted even in a situation where there is no chashash sakana, because who can tell the difference? Because sometimes people make a mistake about how dangerous a fire is. And you can make a mistake. If we don't allow it completely, don't permit it across the board, then at some point someone's going to die from this fire.
Seems very
because sensitive. You look at the Gemara, and the Gemara doesn't say that. You look at the Ritva, he also doesn't say that. I mean, this is, Simon, this is an entire parak in Shabbos. That's basically, Rav Asher Weiss is saying, not relevant anymore. Now, why was it ever relevant?
Maybe people didn't have houses.
Villagers.
People had separate, you know, it was like, easy to get out of your house. The house would go down and that would be it.
Absolutely.
Right, that's probably the answer. Yeah, probably the answer is that we live more close to each other nowadays. So we're not worried about that.
That are flammable or whatever else.
Today?
The truth is, in Israel, if you don't put it out yourself, you're going to call the fire brigade, who are Jews, going to put it out anyway. So someone's going to be in the final trouble.
You're not going to pull it out. You're not going to call the fire brigade.
No, you may not. Someone's going to call the fire brigade. Right. And therefore, they're going to come anyway. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you should put it out. It's not the same thing.
Isn't it better that you should put it out and do one malacha, than they should come and drive their truck and then do
the
other malachas they're going
to
do as well?
The opposite. In general, the truth is, when it comes to these things, it's actually technically better to let somebody else do it, because they're more clear-headed, as we're going to see. We're going to see a little bit of that in the Gemara about different conditions. If it's somebody, like if it's going to be somebody else saving things from your house, then they may be able to take more because they're not bahul al mamuno.
That's less of a risk, and we
exactly
as well. You should have more.
The other possible rationale, by the way, for what the Gemara is talking about when it says that you shouldn't put out the fire, is that they're talking about very localized fire. That's how Rasner preferred to say it. He said, they're talking about a very localized fire. Sometimes you can have a fire in your house, which is like, you know that it's, or in your backyard, which you know is going to go out. One of the people from the community said that one Hanukkah, he put his Hanukkah candles outside on a table, and then one of the kids knocked over the table, and it fell over, and it started to, like, it kind of lit the table on fire. And he said he let it go out. He said he didn't do anything because he's looking at it. He said, I can tell it's not going to do anything. It's not going to go anywhere. Don't think I agree with him. Rav Asher Weiss doesn't agree with him. But he said it was a localized fire. I could tell that it wasn't going to go anywhere. Okay.
But that's precisely the danger. These days you don't know if something's
going
to catch on something else that's...
You're right, but that could be though. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Is they're talking about very localized fire that's not in danger of spreading.
What? Yeah, but it's
I managed to set his eyebrows on fire at my.
No, it's a very good place. To anybody today, you would say, if there's a fire, what should you do? Run out of the house and just not try and put it out because it's Shabbos.
So Russia would say, Russia
would say, or try and put it out. It's very difficult, without seeming blasphemous, to understand what the Gemara is going on about. I mean, why would anybody?
Again, the two possibilities. One is that they lived in different configurations, and the other is that it's talking about very localized fire. There's no doubt that if there was real Sakanas Tavashas, and the best way to take care of the Sakanas Tavashas, which is probably the case, is to put out the fire, then of course you should put out the fire. Here it's talking about where you're worried about money. Apparently the possessions are what's in danger. Mm. So the Gemara says, Mitok Shadam Bala Mamono, Isharis Le Asilich Buye. He's going to put it out. He says, what about this brisa, which talks about something similar? Let's say you have a barrel at the top of your roof, and it broke, and it starts, and whatever is in there, let's say wine, starts to pour out of the barrel. You're going to lose all of that wine. You can take a kli, this is on Shabbos, you can take a kli, go to the bottom of your house, and catch the wine in a kli. Right? It's coming down, you know, from the roof. For some reason, you had it on the roof, and now it's pouring out. You could put it at the bottom. Ubilvad shalei avi kli acher v'yiklot kli acher v'yitzarif. As long as you don't bring another one, you can only bring one.
Why can you bring one and not another?
Hasa, Mike Zereika.
You could end up with no wine if you let it go, but you could last it that shear of the wine, the amount that can be collected in one kli. Saying you can take 3 mils.
No, well, the concern here is that you're going to end up. No, it's going to be carrying.
Carrying, it's in total.
Yeah.
Within your own home?
No, it's outside.
So why you have one?
What?
Is it an apartment block, which is a shura rabbi?
Yeah. That's the assumption. The assumption here is that what's okay, it's okay if you've got stuff falling off of your roof and you just put a kli right there. Right, that's okay because you're not carrying it anywhere. You're not carrying the liquid anywhere.
As soon as you move it, you can't. But in your property, where it's
but what's going to happen if you want to save? What? How much can you save with one kli?
Depends on the size. One kli worth.
It's not going to be very big, right? So what are you going to end up doing? You're going to end up running in and out of the house, going all over. Maybe go to your friend's house, go get a kli from him. Right? You want to save? So they're saying that at some point you're going to end up carrying an Rosh Hashanah over there. So that's why they don't want you to do it. Now, why is it bringing it up? Why is it bringing it up over here? So, over there, you could take a kli and clean the kli tzarif. So, over there, what's the reason for the gzera?
It's the one on the roof.
In terms of what's going on over there, that's oh, sorry, I jumped the gun. Hata ma'igzer ika. What was the concern? Hachinam igzer Hashem ma'igzer ika. Hachinam igzer Hashem yavi kli derech ushes rabim. Sorry, I jumped the gun. That was the answer. The question was why do they limit over there? Why do the rabbis limit you from carrying more than one kli? And the answer is because you're going to end up bringing several klis, and then you're going to end up carrying an ushes rabim. Okay.
And if you don't have a kli.
What can you do? Then what can you do?
And then you can't do anything.
There's nothing to do. Gufa. Gufa means we're going to go back on something we just said, which we just said it. Nishbar lo chavis brosh gago. This back to this brisa. The barrel broke. Maybe kli umenech tachteh, obuvat shalei bikli achar biklot kli achar bitzareh. If you only can bring one. Nizdamen lo orchin. Here you go. What happens if you have guests coming over? Maybe kli achar, but call it kli achar. Then you can bring another kli for your guest. In other words, you bring one kli so that you have wine.
So it's a case of shiur. You mean another
one? I'm not sure what you mean by shiur.
Before we said you're going to need two meals worth, three meals worth.
Oh, that's what you meant.
So if you've got guests, yeah. So they can have a bottle.
Yeah, yeah, you can save one kli's worth for yourself. If you have another guest, you can save another kli's worth.
So why is it an issue of tiptum, if that's the case?
No, you can't bring a lot. They don't want you to bring more. No, ultimately, if you keep bringing kalim, so then you're going to end up carrying an oshis rabbit.
And why, if you have a guest, you're not going to be carrying? Just around, you have 10 guests.
No, it's a limit. There's a limit here.
It's still being limited. That's the point. As long as there's something. By the way, I think the limit thing can throw people off because it's confusing. Like, how is that going to help people? So I think the best analogy is actually harchakos, right? This is how my wife teaches the girls when she teaches kalos. People don't understand what's the point of let's say, for instance. A man and a woman, when she's in Nida, so they can't sleep on the same bed, and the beds have to be separated, right? That's harchaka, right? That's not regular Hilchos Nida. There's no problem with sleeping on the same bed with a woman. It's not tznius, but there's no problem with it. So why did the rabbis enact that? Or passing things, right? Why did the rabbis, that's very late, but why did the rabbis do that? So the answer is because it puts into your consciousness that there's something to be concerned about over here. If the Torah just said, okay, you can't sleep with a woman who's nida, but you're sleeping in the same bed, then you're kind of, there's nothing to protect you from.
Here with the bottles.
So I think the harchak over here is telling them that you can save only three meals. You can save only one cup's worth of wine. How is that going to help? So it's only making it harder for me to save things. No, it's making it harder, but also make sure that you keep in mind that there are limits here. Because the moment that you're left to your own devices about saving things. Let's say the rabbis hadn't said anything. They said, yeah, of course you can save your food. There's nothing wrong with saving food from your house. There's no reason why you can't save food from your house. Take it out of your house and just leave it outside. So you'll be left to your own devices. Ultimately, you're going to violate your concern. You're going to violate the Isidur Abana. So too. That's what I think is going on over here in terms of the gzeira that they made up. It's kind of like a harchaka in the same way that with Nida is a harchaka. So here they have it as well with the cups. So you can bring another one for your friend. Let me go back for a second. Nizdam lo orchin maybe kli acher v'kolet. Sorry, v'kolik kli achar umitzarif. V'lo yiklod v'achar kach yazmin, el yazmin v'achar kach yiklod. However, you can't take a second cup out of the house, get the wine, and then go find somebody to invite.
So
you have to invite first. By the way, it says you can invite the person. You can go.
Excuse me, you can go.
Put a cup there. Realize, oh no, there's so much more wine. Let me go find somebody to invite. Invite them, and then bring the cup out. What you can't do is you can't bring the cup out and then go find somebody. Okay.
Sorry, just to understand, like the chavit that they talk about, is it definitely wine? Does it have to be wine? Does it have to be wine? If it was something
edible,
right? No.
Obviously, it has to be something you're going to be eating.
I was going
to
say, something inedible, if it's olive oil or whatever else, you don't need, three pints of olive oil generally, right?
The point is to save as much as you need. So whatever it is that you'll need, that's what you'll be saving. But the Gemara says, "Ein ma'arim l'kach." However, you're not allowed to be ma'arim. What does that mean? What's ha'arama?
To trick.
Rashi says, you can't just go and invite stam a person so that you'll save food. It has to be that you're interested in inviting the person because you want them to come over to your house for dinner or for lunch. So it's not a trick.
Kids in the wine doesn't go. You have six kids.
Oh, I don't think so. Not for the wine, no. Not for kids, no. No, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are allowed to be ma'arim. You are allowed to trick. You can actually do that. You can go and find somebody to invite just for the sake of saving another kli's worth of wine.
You're already saving it.
Well, they might not drink it.
That's true. At least it's not going to go to waste. And you may save more. One kli may be able to hold more than what the person needs.
What you're saying is at least it's not going to go to waste. It's kind of, well, if that was any of our concern in the first place, we'd let you swap.
No, from the person's perspective, it's not going to go to waste. In other words, he doesn't want it to go to waste, not
the owner.
Yeah. That's why he's inviting.
I feel like I'm missing something. There's a big barrel of wine on the roof of somebody's house.
Right.
It's broken.
Right.
And it's dripping down into the house on the
outside of the house.
Down the gutter. It's coming out of the gutter.
Let's say, yeah.
Okay. So because we're concerned about Tiltal, the guy's allowed to go and bring, he can be Metaltel on Shabbos and go and get one.
No. He's in a permitted way bringing a kli. What we're concerned is, how many kelim does, let's say for instance, how many kelim does he have in his house?
All the milk pots and fleishik pots and pans, he can bring them all out.
The assumption over here is that he does not have enough kelim in order to save the wine. So you have to go to his friend's house and go get something from there.
Okay.
And then there's no
eruv. Then maybe there's no eruv.
So what is he allowed to do? He's allowed to
save with one kli
that he can get from his friend. Or
no,
no,
not in any unpermitted, only in a permitted way.
And then with he has guests,
and if he has guests,
he can have another one.
But where's he going to get from?
Yeah, maybe he has two. The point is to limit him to however much he needs.
He's going to make
no, because when you tell him you can only save one, then what you're saying is you can save however much you need for now. But the moment you can save more than that, he's going to save as much as he can. And once he's saving as much as he can, then he's going to end up going to his friend's house.
If he takes his Pesach super, he'll be blind.
If you don't have guests, are you not allowed to gather as much as...
Because then there will be no limit.
No. As much as you, if you do have guests. I don't understand. Why does the guest change? If you're allowed two, how many are you allowed?
You're allowed as much you need. However much you need.
So if you can. So that's what he's saying. That's what Gemara saying. Invite as many people as you can.
Yeah, that's Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say.
No chashash that you'll do tiltul b'rishut harabim.
Yes.
It takes away that chashash.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think the answer to that question is because you're now conscious of what you're awareness. Doing. Okay. You have an awareness that you're actually circumventing the halakha, but you're not circumventing the whole halakha. You're just finding a loophole, which means that you're still within the system.
So they were trying to prevent us from going, from running over to a friend and bringing a barrel. Yeah, I can't bring for somebody. Yeah, I can only bring one.
Exactly. Right. That's how I see
it. So it's to create an awareness.
Don't bring it from there. You can't bring any from the friends.
Yes, you can't. Right. That would be your reaction. No, I can't. I'm going to bring one.
Why can't we limit it to five?
You can't bring one from
inside. You're going to bring one from inside.
I presume the answer is they wanted to limit it to however much you absolutely need, which is for now one. Or at least the answer was just one because that's the smallest
number. Most people have one post.
Hey, but I don't understand how if this is happening and not your friends aren't going to be there immediately to invite over.
Don't know how long it takes for
the. So you have to run over to your friend's house.
Right.
Anyway.
It's a slow drip.
Could be a slow drip.
So then it could be that they.
They're probably all around there watching. Everyone's come to
it's
watch.
Not their wine, so they're not going to be as upset about it.
They're on the way home.
They're sitting on their own barrel on top of their own roof looking at
yours. So let's continue. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, though, has an interesting shita. He says, you can pull a shtick. You can just invite whoever you want in order to save your wine. So now the Gemara delves into that and says, well, what's the machlokas here? What are they arguing about? So it suggests, lema b'plukta de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua kamifligi. This is actually a separate machlokas. Tanaim. The Tanya, the Mishnah says, this is a Mishnah in Beta. Otaves beno shenaflu labor. What's Otaves beno? It's a mitzvah midaraisa that says it's misleading. Oso, it's actually osa. This is a mitzvah daraisa that says that you're not allowed to shecht a mother and its kid on the same day. Okay, on the same day you're not allowed to shecht the mother and its child. So Otaves beno shenaflu labor. Let's say it's Shabbos, or actually, sorry, it's Yom Tov. Let's say it's Yom Tov, and two animals fall into a pit, a mother and its child. Now, what are you going to do? Can you take them out?
Why not?
No. If you want to shake it, if you want to eat one, then you're allowed to
take
them out.
Why can't you take them out of the pit?
So well, let me put it this way.
They're dead.
Which one?
They're dead.
No, no, they're alive.
The one on the bottom is damaged by the one on the top.
No, that's, it's not a Baba Kama case.
That's where we are at the moment.
Not a Baba Kama case.
Exactly that's what it is.
So Rabbi Eliezer says what you can do is Ma'alas Arishon Amanas L'Shochto Vasheini Oselo Panas Abim Komo B'Shvil Shelo Yamas. Rabbi Eliezer says, well, you can take the first one out and say you're going to shecht it. Tzentiv, you can shecht it. You take the first one. You can't take the second one out anymore. Why? Because you can't shecht it.
On the same day.
If you're going to shecht the first one, you can't shecht the second. Yeah. So you have to leave the second one in the boar, and you feed it.
Because of tiltot?
Yeah.
It's
mukta.
It's
mukta. And you can't feed it. You can feed it. You can just throw food down there in order to make sure that it doesn't die. Rabbi Yoshua says, Ma'alines arishon amanas shechto. Take the first one and say you're going to shecht it. Ve'eno shechto. And don't shecht it. And then take the second one out and say you're going to shecht that one and then shecht whichever one you want. Marin. You can do a harama for this. So they say, this is the same machlokas. Rabbi Yoshua is of the position, you're allowed to be ma'arim on an Isser Durabanan. Yantif, yeah. On an Isser Durabanan, you're allowed to be ma'arim. This is the only thing that you're circumventing here is mukta.
Who are you playing games with exactly here?
The rabbis.
Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda obviously went to the same school. Rabbi Yoshua.
Sorry. No, Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi disagrees Rabbi with Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda.
On this?
Same idea of awareness.
Not on this.
How general?
Saying one thing.
Well, that's the machlokas over here. Rabbi Eliezer says, you can't fool around. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, if it's an Isser Durabanan anyways... So then you can be marim, then you can find the loophole.
It's not a loophole. Saying one thing with the intention of doing something else. Where's the loophole?
It's not like you're saving the life. The animal's going to live whether it's in the boar or not. It's going to be
fit. I don't want to get into the things that many of us do that would be considered ha'arama in many cases.
But what's he saying? Like you take it out
like before Pesach?
No, what are you saying? You're saying here like... You took it out of the intention to shecht it, and you changed your mind.
He did it on purpose. He's saying, I'm going to take it out to shecht it, and then he's
knowing full well you weren't going to.
No, it's the same idea.
So what's the heads up?
You say out loud, I'm going to take it out to shecht it,
right.
And then you go.
So how does the head trick? You clearly knew that you weren't intending to shecht it.
I would suggest that it's the awareness. I would suggest that it's the same idea. Of the awareness. And also, there's such a thing as legal fiction. There's such a thing as legal fiction, and Dvarim Shevelei Veinam Dvarim. If you say you're going to shecht it,
well, the Gemara is in Beitza about exactly this, where you set aside an animal to shecht it, and you inspect it, and then you don't shecht it.
Right. Well, that's...
So
that's
you could say it's in that sort of category.
You're telling it out.
You take it out. So I'm going to shaft it. You take it out. You look at it and say, "Oh, I'm not going to shaft it. I'm going to bring the other one." That's exactly what they're doing.
I don't want to get stuck on the harama. There's a few other things that I wanted to do. Obviously there's a lot going on over here. There's a lot of halachos.
Also,
on
Yom Tov, then you have to prepare something before you shaft it before Yom Tov. Or can you just shaft?
If you have an animal that you want to shecht.
If you didn't know, if you had been able to shecht it before Yom Tov, you shouldn't shecht it.
But also, aren't you supposed to prepare before Yom Tov?
No, you could say that if you shechted it before Yom Tov, the meat wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, but then
it's Muchan. No, it's Muchan for Shechita. It's Muchan for Shechita, anyways.
Could you throw threw in the pit, so it's ready.
It's mukhan for shchita. All animals are mukhan for shchita. You don't have to
is it only meal? Does this,
you don't have to do anything in order to make it.
It's really annoying.
What about
the sand and the...
Again, it's a machlokas whether or not you're allowed to. You're asking, you are.
That's Hanoim here who's saying you can. Doesn't that seem wrong?
Before you.
No, because again, it's only an issa d'rabbanan. If it was an issa d'oraisa, nothing would be okay.
It's only
an issa d'rabbanan. Yes. You have to figure out what issa d'rabbanans are for. You have to figure out what are issa d'rabbanans for. What are they there for? Why do we have them? Why do we have them? And then once you know why you have them, so then maybe it's not such a big deal.
But what's the loss here? I mean, just let him wait till after Yom Tov. What does it matter if he doesn't?
I don't know exactly.
Maybe a wild animal will come and eat it.
Yeah, I don't know. There could be any
obviously
reason.
There's a reason they want to get out the pit.
Or somebody else will take it.
Otherwise, they wouldn't.
Now, then the Gemara says, actually, Rabbi Yeshua Mamala is a Rishon Balmanasa Shochta, Veno Shochta, whether we pass like Rabbi Yeshua, we pass in that you're allowed to do Harama for Darbanan. Rotz is a Shochta, Rotz is a Shochta. So they say, no, it's not the same Machalokas. Mimai. Dilmai kan lo kam Rabbi Eliezer, maybe. We can knock out both ways. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Eliezer only says Hasam by the animals to Efshar Beparnasa. Because like Meir said, you don't even really have to take it out of the pit. You can leave it in the pit. Leave it in the pit and feed it. So what do you need Harama for? If you don't need the Harama, then you're not allowed to do it. But if you do need the Harama, then maybe he would say you are allowed to do Harama. So Rabbi Eliezer may also say that you're allowed to do Harama. On the other hand, Vad kan lo kama Rabbi Yoshua hasam mishum di katsar balechayim. Vahacha de katsar balechayim lo. Maybe Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that he's willing to allow Harama if it means you're able to take the animal out of the pit because then you're avoiding tsar balechayim. But in a case where there's no tsar balechayim, there's no competing value, you're not allowed to do Harama. So in other words, you can't conclusively state that the machlokas tanaim is the same as the machlokas amaraim. In our case.
But why would it then be haram? Isn't it that there's one mitzvah that sort of trumps the other?
No, because then you wouldn't even need the harama. You wouldn't even need to say, I'm going to shech this one and then I'm going to shech that one. Tana Rabbana, new issue. Here we go. Hitzel pas nekia in matzel pas hadra. If you saved good bread, you can't go back and save bad bread. But pas hadra, matzel pas nekia. But if you save bad bread, you can always upgrade to good bread. Say, oh no, I want this one. Umatzilin miyom kippurim the Shabbos. You're allowed to save on Yom Kippur. You're allowed to save food for Shabbos right after Yom Kippur. Why? Imagine it's Yom Kippur on Friday. Not gonna happen. But imagine, I know. Imagine it's Yom Kippur on Friday, and then Shabbos is the next day. So there's a fire breaks out in your house on Friday. How much food can you save? What?
You mustn't fast 2 days.
Yeah, or another way of saying it, you'll have no food for Shabbos. You'll have no food for Shabbos if you don't save it now. So that's why you're allowed to. However, the vice versa, no. Avolomi Shabbos Yom Kippur. You can't save for Shabbos for Yom Kippur. Why not? You don't need it for Yom Kippur, and post Yom Kippur, you'll be able to cook new food. Right.
There's all of these theoretical. Let's assume this, then make a halacha, and then move on.
Vein tzarich lomer mishabbos liyom tov, and of course you can save from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Why are you allowed to save from Shabbos? Sorry. Mishabbos the Yom Tov, lo Mishabbos the Shabbos. Wait, you're allowed to save from Shabbos to Yom Tov. No, you aren't. Wait, one second.
It should be Yom Tov
Shabbos. Yeah, no. I think this is saying you're not allowed to save from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Saying you're not allowed to save from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Why? Obviously, because you can cook on Yom Tov. So there's no reason to save on Shabbos. Velo Mishabbos the Shabbos Haba. And of course, you're not allowed to save from this Shabbos for the next Shabbos because then you have a whole week in between. Okay, here we go. Tanur Rabbanan, Shachach Pas Betanur, Vikidesh Alav Hayom. What happens if you forgot bread in the oven and then Shabbos started?
The oven's on, obviously.
The oven is, well, yeah. But there's also an Issur Rabbanan called Rediyas HaPas. You're not allowed to scrape bread off of the inside of an oven on Shabbos. There's no malacha. But there's an Issur Rabbanan because it's some special way of doing it. They were concerned with something. That's what the Gemara is going to say. So, Matzilin Mazan Shalosh Su'udos V'omer L'Acherim Bo V'Hatzilu L'Achem U'Kshorode Lo Yurde B'Marde Ela B'Sakin. You can save three meals, and you can ask people to come over and save however much they want. Why can they save however much they want? Because it's not their food. So they're not... excited about it. They don't get upset about it. This is what I was hinting at before, that when other people are doing it, it's less of a big deal. But then it ends and says, and if you're going to scrape it off of the inside of the oven, you can only scrape it off with a knife and not with this special tool that they used to have. They used to have a special tool that they used to use to scrape off the bread from the oven.
That's not the idea that someone who's making food that would be doing an act, for example, of Machal Shabbos, would for them be also the food would be okay. Like grinding, you know, making a salad and grinding pepper or something into it, for example. Then they can't have it, but someone else would be able to.
No, here we're talking about how much food you're allowed to save. So you personally are only allowed to save 3 meals. But you're allowed to ask people to come over and help you, and they can save more. Why? Because it's not their food, so they're not going to be freaking out about it like you are. That's what's concerned you.
There's no isser involved.
There's no isser in terms of what you're actually doing. The rabbis made gzera and said you're not allowed to save more than 3 meals, but that only applies to you because it's your house. It's your house, and so you're going to be concerned. But other people coming is no problem. So then the Gemara says, though, Vini, what is this about not being allowed to save from the inside of the oven? Famous Mishnah, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha, which does not include blowing a shofar and scraping the inside of the tanur, or scraping the inside of the oven. Why? Because those things are not asar midoraisa, so they're not malacha. Blowing a shofar. Blowing a shofar is not a malacha. It's a chachma. It's a skill. So the rabbi said you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. But midoraisa, there's no problem with it. So why should this be a problem? Ridiyas apas. You're right. It's not really a problem. They just say, if you can do it a little bit differently by using a knife instead of using this special tool, the mardeh, that's what you should do. The rabbis just said, try to change it a little bit in order to not be mechalal what we said. Right? You should always be mashkim for Hotzah Shabbos. What was mashkim for Hotzah Shabbos? On Erev Shabbos, you should make sure to get ready for Shabbos. Right? Rashi says, "Be'erev Shabbos lechurach ulezamein Hotzah Shabbos." You should take care to make sure to do the things that you have to purchase on Erev Shabbos. Wake up early to do it. Actually, the halacha is that you're not supposed to do things before Shacharis in the morning, right? In general, you're not supposed to wake up early in order to do things before Shacharis. Shacharis should be the first thing that you do after you get dressed and whatever. But you're allowed to go Shabbos shopping before Shacharis. You're allowed to go shopping for Shacharis. Shopping for Shabbos before Shacharis. There you go. Amar B'yaba. B'Shabbos chayav adam livtsoa al shtei kikarot. Tachtiv lechem mishneh. This is lechem mishneh. On Shabbos you have to make hamotzi on 2 pieces of bread. Because it says in the Torah, lechem mishneh. The pasuk is vayi b'yom ha-shishi laktu lechem mishneh. What's that referring to, of course?
Man.
Amar Avashi. Chazini leil Rav Kahana. I once saw Rav Kahana. Dinakat tarte ubatzachada. He took 2 pieces of bread and he only cut one of them. Amar laktu ktiv. Because he says, it only says you have to bring 2 pieces of bread. It doesn't say you have to eat 2 pieces of bread or that you have to cut 2 pieces of bread. So he focused on that word. Rabbi Zeira have a batza akula sheirusei. Rabbi Zeira used to cut everything that was in front of him. Both chalas. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, Bahamechse kirav tenusa. You look like an animal cutting 2 pieces of bread. Calm down. You cut the whole thing. You look ravenous. I don't do this every day. It's only on Shabbos. Since I don't do this every day, I don't look like an animal when I do it on Shabbos. I just look like I'm excited for Shabbos specifically. So that's what he used to do. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Kimikla Lahurif, Sade Iruva, Shirulae, Amriho, Visavid Bachad Mitzvah, Lisavid Bamitzvah Chmina. These two Amara of Tanaim, when they made an Eruv, Erev Tavshilin or Erev Chatzeros. They used to eat it at the end of the Shabbos for Shashudas, because they said we did one mitzvah with it, we should do another mitzvah with it. Let's load up on the mitzvahs with that one piece of food. In terms of this, if you turn it to the sheet, turn the page over to the second side. So about the Lechem Mishnah, see the section that says Lechem Mishnah. So there's a machlokes Rashba and Rashi over here. First, the Rashba quotes Rashi. Rabbi Zera batza kuli shiru. So Rabbi Zera used to cut both. Pirish Rashi, Chaticha Gdola Sheyesh Ba Dei Lekula Sheirusei V'chein Pirish Gam B'Brachos. Rashi says, no, what it means is he used to cut a huge piece of challah. A big piece of challah. That's Kula Sheirusei. He used to cut a very big piece of challah. And that's what it means that he used to look like an animal, because it was a huge, like a wedding challah, and he used to cut it and it looked like crazy. But Rashba says, V'einu Mechover Be'eini Da'ayinu Einin Shemua Seinu. What does that have to do with anything? Nobody asked how big the challah was. Vod de adraba koshu marbe bechaticha aveyayin yofe. What do you mean? You have a big piece of challah, that's good, because then you cut up into many pieces, you can give it out to a lot of guests. That's a good thing. You should do that during the week. You should do that during the week. You should have a big challah when you have guests, so that you can cut into many big pieces and give out to everybody. What's Rav Tanusa about that? Rather, Elanir Ali, Rashba says, the batza al kol hakikaros kamar. He cut all of the pieces. Umishum de kamina dunaka tartu, batza chado, kamar hacha, the Rabbi Zera, batza kulu kakaros, demanchi kamei, vainu de kamar, the Mexican raftanusa. The Rashba says, no, look at the context of the Gemara. Rabbi Zera is arguing with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana only cut one because he said that you only have to bring two, but you only have to cut one. The Rashba says, Rabbi Zera, though, cut both. So Rashi says that Rabbi Zera simply cut a big challah, and that's what made him look like an animal. But the Rashba says it means he cut both. Okay? Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, Botzeah shtei kikarot shleimot, shochet shtein biyado, ubotzeah tachtona. So the Shulchan Aruch just says you have to cut the bottom. So this is Alpi Kabbalah, by the way. On Friday night, the bottom one is the main one. In other words, you put the top one on the bottom one, and then the bottom one is going to be the main one, no matter what you do. V'dafka b'leili Shabbos, the Rama says, Ava b'yom ha-Shabbos o b'leili yom tov b'tzeah alal yona. But during the day, you cut the top one. V'atam o adercha kabbalah.
I didn't know that one.
What?
Yeah. I didn't know
that
one. Oh, you switch it? V'atam o adercha kabbalah. Yes. Right.
Because...
Right. Derech Kabbalah.
Derech Kabbalah is the reason.
That's what the Rama says. Now, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah,
that's the one you cut into before you make the bracha as well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What I do is, this is what I learned. You put the bottom on the Friday night. Let's say you put the bottom one on the bottom. Mm-hmm. You make the bracha and then you turn over, and then you put it on top afterwards and you cut like that.
No, but before you make the bracha, you make a line. You make a little line.
If you make a line.
So then which one do you make a line in?
Then you put the line in the bottom.
The one you get a cut.
So now, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, though, Rashal v'Shla, so the Marshal and the Shla Kadosh, Nagu lachtoch shneihem kipir shorashba. So the Marshal and the Shla both cut both. In other words, on Friday night, for instance, they would switch and then cut through both. Like the Rashba. V'chein hiski magra. And that's what the Gaon Mivilna used to do.
So what did he do? I mean, he was
used to cut through both, like the Rashba explains Rabbi Zera. Meaning, you put one on top of the other, and then you cut through both of them.
Well, why do you have to, if you're only cutting one, why do you have to switch? So you just take the top one off and then cut?
If you're only cutting one, it's in terms of the bottom one, then you just slip out the bottom one, then you cut like that.
Yeah, you don't right. need to, right. you put the top, you bring it onto the
because
top
I cut both.
Oh, you cut both.
So that's right. very nice. So if you know that you're going to use both, you should cut them both from the outset. Is that the idea? Rather than
what do you mean cut them both from the outset?
After the bracha.
If you know that over the course of the meal you're going to have two, you shouldn't just cut the bottom. You should use that opportunity to cut both of them from the outset.
Sure.
Sure, or it's better?
Yeah, I mean, I cut them both even if I'm not going to eat them both. Uh-huh. Which is...
I mean, maybe you'll ask for
the Rashba.
Yes.
Vim makbir al hotzah. Aye, but your wife is going to get upset with you. So if you have a wife that gets upset with you, then you have a problem. Your wife's going to get upset with you. You're cutting two challahs. You're only going to eat one.
Yeah.
You're only going to eat one. Oh, it's a gimel challahs gadolos or gimel ketanos. The Mishnah Berurah says, stop it with your excuses. You get one big one and one small one. That way it's not such a big deal. He says, nevertheless, most people seem to do like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Gra, and only cut one. But the Gra used to cut both. In the Maaser Rav, it says that he used to cut everything in front of him. In other words, if you would give him six, he would cut six. If you give him 12, he would cut 12. Now, what's interesting about that, though, is that the Gra did give a really nice pirush. The Zohar says you're supposed to have 12 challahs on Shabbos.
Yeah. There are some challahs you have.
Right, so in Chutz La'aretz, right, they have a lot of the pull apart challahs all over the place. You don't see them much in Israel.
What challahs?
Pull apart challahs. Yeah. Those are the challahs with like pieces. Mm-hmm. So they tend to make 12, right, in order to be Yotze the Zohar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gras says that's unnecessary. He says it's so easy to do the Zohar. He says, in fact, you're supposed to do the Zohar. They apparently, the Gras used to say that there is no machlokas ever between the Zohar and Halacha. Generally, we do see machlokos between the Zohar and Halacha. Obviously, he had a way of reconciling them. So, for instance, this one, what do you do? The Gemara says you have six challahs on Shabbos, right? You have two, two, and two. But the Zohar says you have to have 12 challahs on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you do have 12 challahs on Shabbos because you have six and you cut all of them in half. That's how you have 12. He says that's what the Zohar means, he says. That's exactly what's going on over there.
So if you cut 12 slices into one challah...
He says that's what the Zohar always meant. He says you're supposed to get the 12 challahs by cutting six in half.
In that first moment or just over the course of the meal?
No, over the course of Shabbos.
Over the course of Shabbos?
Yeah.
Not necessarily from one challah.
Yeah, so if you cut the whole of the first meal, cut them, it's four.
No, there's not four.
So he doesn't think that's what the Zohar means. He doesn't think that the Zohar means you have to have 12 whole challahs. He says it never said that.
You actually cut slices.
Well, we do cut slices, but his point is that the first initial cut is going to create 12 over the course of the day. I assume he didn't just cut two in half and end up with four and then like say that's it. We're just done. I assume he didn't do that. So that's in terms of Lechem Mishnah. But again, the minog is probably for most people to follow the Shulchan Aruch, which is just to cut one of them. But you can certainly do that.
Can you just read the second line from the end?
Which?
Yeah, where it says Dalet.
That's what I read.
Barash Vashla.
Rashal Vashla.
Shla Zeshla Horus.
Shla Kadosh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I just read. Nagul Achtach Shneh.
The rest of it, I didn't know where that was the Shla.
Yeah, Shla Kadosh. So, go back to the Gemara. We're in the bottom over there after Tzidu Tats. Tanu Rabbanan. How many meals does a person have to eat on Shabbos? What?
He's a
Zohar
of it.
So am I.
But I told him that my wife's going to be very... If I start cutting up challahs and not eat them, my wife's going to be very...
You buy a small challah.
Yeah.
You buy a small second challah and that's it.
The difference is in these days or whatever else, bread would be a part of every meal every day, and if you didn't finish it on Shabbat, then you'd eat it.
Yeah, it doesn't end up getting finished.
Sorry?
It doesn't end up getting finished.
So then it's more about wasting or whatever else.
It'll be wasted whether I eat it or I don't eat it. I mean, it'll be wasted whether I cut it or I don't cut it, or whether I buy it or I don't buy it. It will get...
No, if you don't cut two on the first, if you don't cut two on Friday night, then you've got one extra one or whatever else for the
six challahs, all the challahs in the store need to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah, right. That's a good one.
Let's just buy that.
That's a good argument against
it. Yeah.
Vegetarians. Right. If I don't eat it, somebody else.
They make the challahs because people buy them.
Where did you get that? Was that in the Gemara?
I don't know what I said that was so funny.
Basic economics.
It wasn't funny, it was ridiculous.
Supply and demand. If you don't buy them, they'll make less.
They won't.
Next week. This week, you might be right. Next week, nobody buys
anything.
Then
they make
them. If nobody buys challahs, yes, but...
If 50% of people buy the challahs as the previous week, they'll make 50% next week.
If there were that many people, then maybe. If there were that many people, maybe. Now, the last four lines. So it says, Tanabanan, sorry, the three lines. Kamasudos chayav adam le'achol b'shabbos. Shalosh.
Oh.
All right, that was easy. Rabbi Chitka omer arba.
There's always four.
The
Baker's Union.
You know that if you'd have said two, you'd have said three.
Yes. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shnayim Ushnayim Mikra Echa Darshu. They both learned it from the same pasuk. It says Vayomer on the bottom. Vayomer Moshe Echluhu Ayom. Do you not have it?
No,
we don't. Oh, I'm sorry. You got the top cut off and the bottom cut off. So I'll just read it out loud, okay? It says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ushnei mikra echad darshu. Vayomer Moshe echluhu hayom, kishabas hayom l'ashem, hayom lom tipzuhu basadeh. Can anybody count how many times I said hayom? Vayomer Moshe echluhu hayom, kishabas hayom l'ashem, hayom lom tipzuhu basadeh. Three times. So that's where, apparently, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's where where the Tanakhama gets the idea that it's three. Rabbi Chidka Savar, you don't have this. Hani Tlasa Hayom Lubar Miyarsa. No, those are the three during the day. In other words, you have to eat one meal at night and then three during the day. So those are the Hayoms during the day, but there's an extra meal you have to have at night and three during the day. Rabbanan Savi Bahadi de Orsa. No, Rabbanan say that it accounts the one at night. Tna Nafla Deleka Baleli Shabbos. Now you guys are back in. If there was a fire at night, Matzilin Mazen Shalosh Seudos, our Mishnah. It says that if there's a fire at night, you save how many meals?
Three.
Implication being, my lav, the lo achal. Obviously, he didn't eat yet Friday night, and that's why he's saving three. How are they going to get out of this?
It's the morning.
Well, they can't say it's the morning, because it says at night. But you can say it happened after the meal. Lo, the achal. Shach the achal lo my love the lo achal lo the achal shach so he did eat it. Then it says shach is matzil and matzah shayish tei sudos. Ah, but what if it's the morning? It says that you're supposed to save two sudos. My love the lo achal. He didn't eat yet. Lo the achal b'mincha matzil and matzah sud achas. My love the lo achal. You're allowed to save one. Surely you didn't eat yet. Lo the achal. You're still allowed to save one more because you need to have one more after mincha. V'ami diktani seif, Rabbi Yosi, Omer li'olam atzion mazon shal sudos, mechal d'tanakama, gimel sfirulei. Oh, but what are you going to do with Rabbi Yosi? Rabbi Yosi says you're always allowed to only save three. Why did Rabbi Yosi say that? Rabbi Yosi must think that you only have three meals on Shabbos. You always have three meals on Shabbos. That's the whole idea. So the answer is no, mechal d'tanakama, gimel sfirulei. So Michal Tanakama Gimel Sfirulei. Yeah, Tanakama has also agreed that there's three. El Machvarta Masnisin de Lok Rabbi Chitka. Mishnah's not like Rabbi Chitka. That's fine. Rabbi Chitka is a Tana. He's allowed to differ from the Mishnah. Not a problem. V'adet Nan. So there's another Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Peah. Mishnah in Peah says Mishi Yesh Lo Mazen Shtei Tzudos Lo Yitol Min Atam Chui Mazen Arba Asrei Lo Yitol Min Akupa. The Mishnah simply says that if you have let's say you have enough food for two meals, you should not take from the tamchoy, which is kind of like a plate of a charity plate. Mazan arba asrei, if you're sitting at the beginning of the week and you have 14 meals, right? That's the amount of meals that you need. Lo yitol min hakupa, you shouldn't take from the big pile, right? That's how many meals you're supposed to have. So who's this? Mani. What is this? Lo rabbanan lo b'chidka. Because how many meals does this mean you're going to have? Two. Irabanan chames rehavin, it should be 15. Irabi chitka, shit rehavin, it should be 16. Exactly. Lo lom rabbanan da'aminale maida bayis lamechel ba'afuke shabsa, achli b'shabsa. Sorry, where did I go? Lo lom rabbanan da'aminale maida bayis lamechel ba'afuke shabsa, achli b'shabsa. Rabbanan will say, no. You have three meals on Shabbos, and you don't eat a malava malka, which means that you're going to end up with 14 meals. There's an assumption you don't have an extra 16.
Where am I going?
16? 14 plus the 14 regular plus two extra ones that you'll have 14 on Shabbos.
14 for 6 days?
No, 7 days.
14 plus, okay, sorry.
14 plus two for the...
That's not right. If you just drop the malava malka, you should be on 15.
No, because then it means you have two every single day.
It doesn't
How many are you having the day of Shabbos?
What about Shabbos?
You have one in the morning and one in the night. One every single day, right?
Okay.
How many do you have on Friday? Two. One in the morning, one at night. How many do you have on Shabbos?
Two.
Two. One in the morning and one at night.
I see. Shabbos. Okay.
Afilu, so Lema Rabbanan Hivul Arbi Hidcha, so the Mishnah seems to accord with Rabbanan. No, also the Friday morning meal you don't have. You don't have a meal on Friday morning. So then the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom. What, you're going to make him fast all of Friday morning? You're not even supposed to fast Friday morning. I remember I was in Camp Hask with a friend of mine, was a big tzaddik, and he used to just fast at random times. Just random. And then I once, and he wouldn't tell anybody. I just had to like look at him like funny and be like, you're fasting, aren't you? And it was Friday. I don't know. It was a thing. And then I noticed he was fasting and it was Friday. I was like, you're not allowed to fast on Friday. He didn't know that. You're not allowed to fast on Friday morning. You're not allowed to.
Friday afternoon. You're...
Friday afternoon. Once you already eaten Friday morning, you're not fasting.
I think,
If a fast falls on Friday, no, fast don't fall.
Yeah,
on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, if a fast falls on Friday, that's one thing. But stop fasting on Friday, you're not supposed to. Where you're going to make him fast all morning? No, it's Rabbi Akiva. The Omar asay Shabbat chachol v'al titzarech labriot. No, he's saying that you should erase a meal from Shabbos. You shouldn't have three seudos on Shabbos if you're poor. Your dignity is more important than having meals on Shabbos, having extra meal on Shabbos. Okay, you know, we'll stop there. We'll stop there in terms of the three sudos. So let's talk a little bit about the three sudos. I have over here, I focused a little bit on two things. Number one, on women and Shalosh Shudas, and also on the timing of Shalosh Shudas. So if you look at the sheet, actually, is there anything else I wanted to do over here? Maybe we'll go back and look at this, if we have time. Okay. So, what about women having Shalosh Shudas? So there's an assumption that women do have Shalosh Shudas. There's an assumption that they do. The Ramban gives two possible reasons why. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Omer Rabbeinu Tam Zal, the Nashim Chayavas Begimel Seudos Shaaf and Hayubanes Haman. That apparently the reason for Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos is because of the man. Something to do with the man falling three times, right? Or sorry, having to do with the man, which is referred to by Hayom, right? V'Chayavas Livtzoa Al Shtei Kikaris Bitamza, and also because of that reason. If a woman is eating by herself, she also has to cut
two
lechem mishnah, right? But the Ramban says, and a lot of Rishonim say, "Ein sarach shebekol ma'isa Shabbos ish v'isha shavim." But you don't need that because when it comes to Shabbos, you don't need any extra rules. The main rule is men and women are the same on Shabbos. What's he talking about? With malachos, men and women are the same on Shabbos. But that's unsurprising. Why is it unsurprising?
Who is the truth for loves?
Because it's a lotase. Lotase kol malacha applies equally to men and to women, and you don't need anything actually to tell you that. What about Kiddush? Does a woman have to make Kiddush on Shabbos?
Yep.
Why?
Maybe she has a lover's kid.
I'll say lotase.
Because Zachar and Shamar, Dibur Echad, Zachar is all of the Asis. Well, it's Kiddush. It's Kiddush on Shabbos. And Shamar is the Isurim. Therefore, just like a woman has to be worried about the Shamar, she has to be worried about the Zachar, even though it's a Mitzvah Asay Shazman Grama. Okay? The Ramban says that's not just for Kiddush, that's for all the Mitzvot Asay of Shabbos.
Because of Shama, then she has to do all the assay.
Right. Including the Durabanans. Like Adakas Neiros, like Lechem Mishnah, and like Shalosh Sudas, which according to most poskim is only Darabat. So the Ramban says, I don't understand Rabbeinu Tam. Why do you need to bring in the Nashim Chayavos? Right? So there is, by the way, there apparently, now that's not such an issue, but apparently there was a time when women used to not have Shalosh Sudas. Like their husband used to go to Mincha, have Shalosh Sudas, and the women used to stay at home and not have anything. So Shlomo Kluger, the Marshal, wanted to figure out what was going on. So he made a claim, Rabbi Yosef quotes it in his Tshuvos, he made a claim that they disagree with both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. They say, Rabbeinu Tam, it only applies when it's a nes that saves you. The man wasn't a nes that saved them. It was a nice nes, it was an extra. There would have been other ways for Hashem to give us food. So Rabbeinu Tam, they disagree.
But from the sky is a pretty big mess.
They had food. Money. They had food, the truth was. They had animals. They had animals. They didn't have to be there for 40 years. Either way, it wasn't the same kind of nes that other things were. I think I agree with you. I think it is, but this is what he says. And Ramban they disagree with because they say, who says that it applies to all the other mitzvahs? Maybe it only applies to Kiddush. So he claims that they disagree. No. Rav Avadia says this is silly. They're just trying to figure out why women are obligated. Everybody agrees that women are obligated. They're just trying to figure out why. You can't say you disagree with both reasons and therefore they're not, when that's not up for debate, whether they are or aren't. If you look at the Birkas of Ram on the left side...
Yeah, sorry, can I say, when we talk about this man grammar, doesn't that mean over a specific time? Whereas if you want to make Kiddush on Shabbat, you have to make Kiddush on Shabbat, for Shabbat, and it's not a fixed set time. You have to make Kiddush to over the whole of Shabbat. It's not... So in that sense, you could argue it's not man grammar.
Even mitzvos that you have all day to do every day is man grammar. Kreshma, you have to do it once a day. Twice a day. You have to do it twice a day. Women don't have to. That's my grandma.
In terms of
periods of time, Kiddush, you still have to make one in the evening, one in the day.
Speaking of whatever else, it's about the Shabbat as a broad period, not as a set time. But, right.
Yeah. So the bringers are from Avraham Erlanger. So he says, interesting idea. A few ideas. Hine Arambam Kasav. V'tzarech likboa. Oh, this was actually going to be part of the next one. Actually, I should have put in the next. Well, we'll do it now. V'tzarech likboa kol sudam mishloshtan al hayayin. V'livtzoa al shtei kikar. This is somewhat famous. The Rambam says you have to have wine at all three sudos. Mm-hmm. So there are chassidim that make kiddush at shalosh sudos. Now they eat before it. They don't like. It's not like before they. Yeah, there's some.
They read the whole thing from the Torah.
Yeah.
What kiddush as in Boreker?
Yeah, they say.
Yeah, they have other things that they say. They don't say I'm a kaddish or Shabbos, right?
No, they say about 10 pesukim from the Torah. My father-in-law does it, and he makes a Boreker. It's quite.
I used to do it. I didn't used to like kiddush. I used to just make sure to have grape juice at the table. I haven't done it in a long time.
The Sefer Paskah that was sponsored by Tishbe.
Whether you have to have two challah. By the way, notice he also says you have to have two challahs.
Yeah, not everyone
does that. What? Not everybody's knowing like that, but it's a nice thing to do for the Rambam.
We had a shiftei a few years ago when there was no Lechem Mishnah Shabbos Shulis, and that was a trigger for us to actually start at least having bread there for Shabbos Shulis.
I think that day I ran home to get challah.
Yeah.
Okay, so v'chein b'yamim tovim. It says also on Yom Tov. Remember we discussed that. V'atur kasev b'shem Rambam shegam b'yom tov yitzarech gimel se'udos b'shabbos v'sharosh cholek. Then the Torah says a pretty wild thing. He says you also have to have three se'udos on Yom Tov. That nobody is concerned for, except for the gra on Motzei Chag. But that's for a different reason, not for this. But apparently the Rishon didn't say that. L'fizeh yesh adun le'inim nashim. What about women? Sharei lo shani bazeh zachor dumi deshamor v'harim bevor b'magid mishnah shein kiddush yom tov dvar Torah v'kach kasa b'kiryas sefer sham. In other words, on yom tov there's no zachor and shamor. Right? There's no zachor and shamor, so you can't pull the Ramban on them and say that they're just like men. Right? And that's why it could be that women aren't chayav in kiddush on Yom Tov, right? And then if that's the case, then do they have to have, let's say, two challahs? Do they have to have three pseudos? What? Because they're not like men. But if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam that it's for the man, then maybe they are. Now, I'm trying to remember when we looked at the Gemara, when we looked at the Tosfos, we pointed out that there may not have been extra man on Erev Yom Tov. Was that Rabbeinu Tam? I don't remember. If it was, so then it would be Minanashach. Women wouldn't have to have two challahs, because I can't remember now. Because even according to Rabbeinu Tam, they wouldn't have to, because there was no extra man. Although I guess, that's not the issue. That's not the issue whether there was extra man. Right? Well, okay. Okay, but here is another halachic nafkamina, by the way. V'shut Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, Kasav she'isha she'shachacha yalev yavo besudas yom tov. What does she do? What do you do if you forget yalev yavo in benching?
Got to go back.
You have to go back. Eina chazeres. But a woman doesn't. Why? Why do you go back on yom tov?
It's a chiyuv. The meal's a chiyuv.
Because the meal itself is a chiyuv. If you're benching on Rosh Chodesh afternoon during the week and you forget Yalav Yavo, do you go back?
No.
No, why not?
It's not a chiyuv.
Because there's no chiyuv. If you're benching on Shabbos afternoon, you miss Yalav Yavo, do you go back?
Oh, you say Yalav Yavo on Shabbos.
It's Rosh Chodesh. Would you go back?
You would, because
it's yes, because it's a chiyuv. A woman on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, would a woman go back and say it again? No, yes, because it's a chiyuv. On Yom Tov, would a woman go back and say it again? No, she wouldn't, because there's no chiyuv. Imkenim Turos Misudas Yom Tov, Lachin Ein Lachzor. They don't go back. They can't go back. She can't go back and say it again, because she already said it. Miu Lefitam De Zecha Laman Nir De Chayavos El De Misafek Ein Omrin. So, Misafek, he says you shouldn't. So if a woman asks you, if she forgot Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov and benching, should she go back and say it again? The answer is no, she wouldn't. Interesting idea. Now, what about this business, this will be the last thing that we do, about when we eat the three meals. So you look at the Rosh has two tshuvas about this. In the bottom, he says, "Umasha shalta yimuter lidrosh lechatchila b'tzibur shiyucha lasa suda shlishes b'suda shachris." Can you do two meals in the morning? Shalosh shudas in the morning. Ulahavsik b'machal l'machal, and simply finish eating, bench, and then wash again. Right? We discussed this a little bit on Shavuos night, right? So can you do that? Da ki ein lechal suda shlishes ala achar chatzot. He said, first of all, suda shlishit should definitely not be eaten until after chatzot. Because it said that if the 14th of Nisan, right, Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, what do? Excuse me. How many meals are you going to have on Shabbos? Why only two? Because what happens after chatzot?
You can't eat bread.
You can no longer eat bread. You can't eat matzah. So what's the? So you're not going to have suda shlishit according to this. Now, what is that assuming? It's assuming that suda shlishit must normally be eaten after chatzot, because otherwise you should just eat two meals before chatzot, then you have three meals.
Yeah.
If you happen to eat the first meal after chatzot, you can do that, and then you can break up between them. But before chatzot, you can't do that, because then it's just it's too close together. And the tzibur is not sure how to do this. He has another tshuva. Same thing. I do that. שכבר הגיע זמן המנחה, שמפסיק אין סעודסן ומברכן ברכס המזון, ונוטל נדענו וברכן המוצי. He says, but notice, what's the case? When is he actually eating the Suda Shlishit?
When there's actually time to...
After Chatzot, during Mincha time. The Imlokin came to Suda, lo yuchodim lachol Suda Shlishit, ela b'achila gasa. Avokotim zman mincha, ain lachol Suda Shlishit. You shouldn't before that. Ukshumavsik benim mina mincha, besudaso, umavarech berkazamotzi, ain kan mishum mar bebrachos shalol latorch. He's not concerned about that. He's not concerned about mar bebrachos. He's not concerned about that at all. He doesn't care about that. Kivin shumavsik b'dekavet Shabbos, l'kayim Suda Shlishit. Just like on Shavuos night, right? If you would stop in the middle of your meal, so you can have of your milchik meal to have your basar meal, he says there's no problem. The problem here is something else. The problem is having two meals before Chatzot.
We didn't finish on Shavuos night saying there's no problem. We had the issue about whether it's brachot
tov. We quoted the Taz, but I think most people are not knowing that way. Most people do it. People who do it do it.
Because you're not saying,
and they're not worried about the Taz.
The whole issue about the basar basar, right?
What?
The whole issue of the Sabbath, you're not really so better because you're about to...
No, that's not what the Taz is concerned. The Taz over there was just concerned that what are you doing? You're still eating. You're still in the middle of a meal.
Why would you stop and make a
bracha and then continue eating?
Wasn't that the issue that you're not... How can you make a bracha saying you're so better? No, for well.
That may be something you dreamt while we were
talking. I've just made a bracha for the first time in many, many years.
Okay.
In my youth.
Yeah, that's what he says, yes. If you look at Tosos, by the way, if you go back to the sheet for a second, Tosos, on the top, where it says, B'mincha matzilin mazon suda achas, mikan mashma, d'zman achila shishis b'shabes, himina mincha ulamala. D'lo kozum shemachalkin suda shachris, umuvarchin bein tayim. This is what the Rosh was talking about, right? You have two Sudas in the morning. Right, this is exactly what the Rosh was talking about. He says, that's not a proof, though. No, because that could be considered one Suda from the perspective of that, but it's really two. So he's concerned about Bracha Shein Etzricha. That if you have a meal, then you immediately bench, and then immediately have another meal, so it's a Bracha Tzricha. Bacha Shein Etzricha, the Ri is concerned about.
What about doing Suda Shlishit in winter when you
Do it straight after lunch? What do you mean straight after lunch? A few hours. A few hours.
You eat at 1 o'clock, you finish at 3 Shabbos.
A few hours, you have a few hours in between.
We used to do that once. We used to
go to bed.
And then Shabbos is at 4:30.
Two courses, start bench, go for a walk around the house.
There you go.
And then eat again.
Good.
Big house.
Take a walk.
Every minute, a few hours. What time?
You take a walk, you went outside.
Get down to the stables, past the tennis
on the shire.
Do you usually take a walk in the middle of your meal?
No.
So you finish your meal, you're done.
A few hours in between.
That's the beauty actually of the 1:30 minute for now, isn't it?
So you go outside and take a walk and walk around, and then that's it.
Yeah, you go to Mincha at 1:30, come back and start second meal.
What?
That I guess would be the beauty of finishing the Mincha at 1:30 then.
I know people who do that. I know a lot of people who do that. I know a lot of people who do that. Not even here in Ramadan. I know people who do that in other places. Now, but when is the best time? So if you look at the Rambam says, Chayav Adam, you go back to the Rambam on the second side of the page. Chayav Adam lechol shosh sudas b'shabbos, achas arvitz v'achas shachris v'achas b'mincha. He says they need to be each in their place. V'tzarech lihizar v'shosh sudas elu shelo yifchos b'en klal. You have to have three. This is what we saw before. V'afil ani ha-misparnis min atztaka soy shosh sudas. He says actually... that you have to have three, even if you're poor. If you're sick and you can't, or you're used to fasting, okay, then you don't. That's what we saw before. So he thinks they should be in their places, right? In other words, the Suda Shlishit should be after Mincha, right? It should be then.
I mean, you're not going to do that either, because people used to do Mincha Gadolah straight after Shacharis, before they went home. So
they daven Mincha even before they went home?
Even before they had their second year.
They also didn't have
Shalashuris.
They often didn't have Shalashuris, they had the ship.
Okay, last thing, the Shulchan Aruch, just a halacha. It's basically like the Rambam. I had a Rebbe, I'm sure you all heard the same thing, a Rebbe who said that the that Suda Shlishit during the winter dafka is the holiest meal because you're eating it only for the sake of Suda Shlishit. Right? You don't have to. Don't eat too much in the morning. So there's room. He says, if you didn't eat Friday night, let's say, Rabbi Rosner told a story about a friend of his who was in the army, and he came home and he took a shluf on Erev Shabbos, and he didn't wake up until the morning. So he woke up in the morning, he made Kiddush, like Friday night Kiddush. He didn't say Vayechulu or Vayerev, but it's like that's the Kiddush Daraisa. And then he made sure to have three sudos throughout the course of the day, because you have to have three sudos. The Aruch HaShulchan does, by the way, make a big deal about actually eating the meals in their right times. He thinks that they are supposed to correspond to Maariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. He makes a very big deal about it. So it's a nice thing to be makbid about. Zeu, Shkoyach.
My father sent me the text for the Kiddush for Shalosh Shuddos. I can't see any relevance to Shalosh Shuddos.
Oh no, what happened over here?
Didn't record.
No, it didn't.